Welcome to the show, everyone. You're listening to Connecting the Notes, and I'm your host, Matthew Ray. Subject of our show tonight is the band The Butthole Surfers. Spawning out of San Antonio in the mid-80s, Butthole Surfers gained a large fan base through energetic and chaotic live shows, dark humor, and some of the more bizarre original albums you're likely to hear. The song is called Who Was In My Room Last Night from 1993's Independent Worms. Butthole Surfers were formed in San Antonio by Gibby Haynes and Paul Leary. The two had met while attending San Antonio's Trinity University. They played their first show in 1981 and by 82 were joined by brothers Quinn and Scott Matthews on bass and drums, respectively. The group got the attention of Dead Kennedys' Jello Biafra, who invited the band to open for them in California and eventually released their debut EP on his label Alternative Tentacles in July of 1983.
I don't know. Get your hands off me. Hey, 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 hey.
Just heard the song Something and Hey from the Butthole Surfers' debut EP. Listening to Connecting the Notes here on Valley Free Radio, we're dedicating this whole hour to the Butthole Surfers. Besides founders Gibby Haynes and Paul Leary, the group were joined by Bill Jolly on bass and King Coffee on drums for that recording. From here on out, the bass would see a rotating cast, but Coffee would remain the band's longtime drummer. They released Live PCP EP in 1984 on Alternative Tentacles. The band said they released the live EP out of financial desperation. Indeed, they had two full albums ready, but their label, Alternative Tentacles, was unable to pay Boss Studios for the studio time, and they were unable to pry the master tapes away. The band was able to release one of the albums, Psychic, Powerless, Another Man's Sack, on Touch and Go Records in late 1984, and after about 2 years of negotiations with Alternative Tentacles and Boss Studios, were able to release another LP, Rembrandt Pussy Horse, with Touch and Go in 1986. The band was touring constantly at this point, but still found time to record one more album, called Locust Abortion Technician, released in 1987. Here are a few songs from the Butthole Surfers between 84 and 87.
Yeah. Stone Angel by the swimming pool in a two-piece hole, and I lost my cool. But I'm cool. The things I do and say, hey, well, the color's brown, it's coming down. Shit on ya!
But All Surfers with Human Cannonball. Before that, Gary Floyd, and we started things off with the band's live rendition of Barbecue Pope. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Connecting the Notes live out of the lovely studios here at Valley Free Radio. If you want to learn more about the show, visit us online at connectingthenotes.com. You can listen to all of our old shows, you can look at playlists, and we also have lots of links and other stuff for you to check out. So www.connectingthenotes.com. Butthole Surfers live shows were intense during this period. The band had two drummers, King Coffey, who was featured on their first two EPs, and one of Coffey's old high school marching band friends, Teresa Nervosa. Both claimed publicly that they were brothers and sisters, but that was not actually true. So these live shows included strobe lights, smoke, nudity, yelling, all kinds of good stuff. There's a wonderful account I read of one of the shows at Trenton, New Jersey's City Gardens on May 3rd, 1987. It was compiled by Amy Yates Wolfling and appeared in the book No Slam Dancing, No Stage Diving, How a Seedy New Jersey Club Defined an Era. It contains commentary from singer Gibby Haynes, Dean Ween of the band Ween, promoter Randy Now, as well as a handful of employees and fans present at the show. So I cut the account down a bit, and we will provide it with music, and it'll be like we're at the Butthole Surfers show from 1987. So close your eyes, unless you're driving. If you're driving, do not close your eyes. But if you're not driving, close your eyes, and we'll take you to Trenton, New Jersey's City Gardens on May 3rd, 1987. As Tim Heinley, who was at the show, recalls, quote, "It's hard to describe exactly what a Butthole Surfers gig was like unless you were there. For starters, they were total freaks. Drummer King Coffey and his sister Teresa played the double drum like they were from another planet, and bassist Jeff had a backwards mohawk and looked like he was having trouble staying awake. Guitarist Paul Leary was cross-eyed on purpose, and last but certainly not least, the 7-foot-tall Gibby Haynes. No shirt, gut hanging out, long greasy hair, yelling at whomever he could yell at. The guy was scary." Butthole Surfers would project old films of surgical reconstructions and graphic car accidents at their live shows during this time. Said Gibby Haynes, "Those were real 16mm films. To find those films, I had to do research at the University of Texas, looking in reference books and tracking things down. Back then, you had to be pretty imaginative to get those kinds of films. People who had things like penis reconstruction films were sensitive about distribution. You had to call up and pretend you were a doctor. We would have this stuff mailed to our house outside of town that were addressed to the pathology wing at so-and-so hospital, Dr. Gibson Haynes." In addition to the videos, smoke machines and lights, the band employed a dancer, Kathleen, who danced in the nude during the shows. As promoter Randy Now recalls, "So, the show was booked and I kept hearing that all across the country that they had a nude dancer on stage. When they showed up that day, I asked Gibby to not have the girl dancing nude because it was an all-ages show and there would be kids there. And he said okay, which really meant F you." Show was Butthole Surfers, Malcolm Tent, Cleft Palate, and Ween. It was Ween's first club show, and as Dean recalled, while soundcheck was very tame, it all changed when the Butthole Surfers took the stage. Randy Now said, quote, "The dancer takes her top off the very first song, but it was hard to see her because she was behind the two drummers and the film projections were reflecting off of the drums. But she was topless, and I knew when the club owner saw her, he was going to go berserk because it was his ass on the line if some kid goes home and tells mom that there's a naked lady on stage. It was a huge crowd, too," end quote. Gibby Haynes reflects, "This was the first tour with Kathleen, our dancer. Generally, she was totally naked. She was from Atlanta, and she was part of the crazy Atlanta music scene." As security guard Mike Pietzky described, "The crowd was going nuts pretty much the entire show. When the crowd first saw the naked woman, they went crazy. Then it wore off and became old hat. After that, they just focused on the band." Promoter Randy Now added,
Quote, I know the owner's going to go crazy when he sees this whole thing, so I kept him distracted and had him in the back counting bottles of Jack Daniels or something. Almost the whole set was finished, but he finally comes out and he sees what's going on, tells me to go up to the stage and tell the dancers that she has to put a top on. I'm up there doing hand signals and waving, and they just ignored me. We had this big on-off breaker switch that fed the power to the stage. It was gigantic. It looked like something out of a Frankenstein movie from the 20s. It was so huge. He's yelling, pull the plug, and that thing just cut the power to the stage, so we pulled it. At this point in the show, Gibby had started lighting his arm on fire and experimenting with pyrotechnics, a common spectacle at their show during this time. Power was cut by the club owners and the fans began yelling at the bouncers and staff. Butthole Surfers continued their show, even without power to the amps. As Mickey Ween describes, that set off a whole series of events. The lights came on, the PA went out, and the whole place was filled with smoke, either from the smoke machine or his burning arm. And when the house lights go up, you could see everyone for the first time. The two drummers kept going and Gibby had the bullhorn and it turned into this tribal hell. That's what was so great about seeing the buttholes. It was like you were in hell, especially if you were on drugs. Randy Now added, after we pulled the plug, they kept on playing and started pouring rubbing alcohol onto the drum cymbals, setting it on fire and then hitting them so that the fire flew all over the place. Mickey Ween remembers when security guards tried to intervene, saying, quote, a security guard came on stage and Gibby threw the alcohol on him. The dude just started backing away. It was clear that Gibby probably would set him on fire. And now, knowing Gibby like I do, it was definitely within the realm of possibility. Gibby Haynes added, alcohol burns at such a really low temperature. You can dump it on your hand and go 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, and that's how long you have before you feel it. Gas, you want to put it out quicker, but it's a lot harder to put out. First time I ever lit my hand on fire, I used lighter fluid and the flame would not go out. You have to deprive it 100% of oxygen before it will relinquish its fiery grip. It's a bummer to put it out once it gets going. I learned all this through trial and error. Meanwhile, the show continues on stage, with fire continuing to jump off the drum heads and Gibby screaming on the megaphone. As Randy Now says, the insulation caught on fire, or at least it seemed like it was going to. And that's when the club owner ran up on stage with the fire extinguisher. He didn't say anything, he just walked up there like he was the maintenance man and putting out fires was part of his job. The band had no reaction, they were just sort of laughing. It was so surreal that maybe they didn't realize the battle was going on. There was a battle happening on stage, and it was the bouncers versus Gibby. Gibby Haynes said about their shows, we tried to create chaos, but it was never mean-spirited. It was never exploitative in nature. I would never play nasty pranks on people. There was no real philosophy behind it. Dean Ween summed up the show pretty well, saying, I remember seeing the club owner in the middle of all of it. The band was really intimidating. I know guys in bands and they're all artsy-fartsy. They play tough music, but they're not tough people. But Paul and Gibby were pretty athletic. They aren't people you'd want to fight, and I just always assumed that those guys were on LSD. Gibby's one of the smartest people I've ever met. He could talk about anything, but you wouldn't want to mess with him. The drummers kept playing, Gibby is screaming on the megaphone, and the staff opened the doors to kick people out, and that was about it. The show was officially over. The part that got scary was when the audience realized the show was over. Then they started breaking stuff up. Sometimes I think people don't believe me when I tell them what our first gig was like. I was never concerned for my safety, though, the whole time. It's still the best show I've ever seen to this day.
ยิ่งมันเขาเรียกขี้กลางพุ่งเดือน
มีดวงใครว่าของดีดวงที่ทำไมมันคันคันคันคันคันคันคันคันคันคัน
คันคันคันคันคันคันคัน
Welcome back to Connecting the Notes. Hope you're still with us. Teresa Nervosa, the band's second drummer, left the group in 1989. She later discovered she had a brain tumor and would not return. The group continued with a single drummer, cutting two records, one for Touch and Go in 1988 called Hairway to Steven, and one for Rough Trade Records in 1991 called P.O. They also recorded an EP, Widowmaker, their last work with Touch and Go, that was released in 1989.Butthole Surfers contributed to the Rocky Erickson tribute album during this time, and Gibby Haynes sang on a Ministry song, Jesus Built My Hot Rod.
You pull through a man's stone. You pull through. Soon I discovered that this rock thing was true. Jerry Lee Lewis was the devil. Jesus was an architect previous to his career as a prophet. All of a sudden, I found myself in love with the world, so there was only one thing that I could do. It was ding-a-ding-dang, my dang-along-ling-long.
Butthole Surfers signed with Capitol Records in 1991, a move unfathomable just 5 years ago. They hit the studio with John Paul Jones, producer and bassist of Led Zeppelin. Their efforts resulted in 1993's Independent Worm Saloon. Butthole Surfers with Tongue off 1993's Independent Worm Saloon. Another song off that album, Who Was In My Room Last Night, which we played at the top of the hour. Got some radio play, but it was a song off the 1996 album Electric Larryland that became a number one hit. Yes, a band called the Butthole Surfers who showed films of penis reconstruction while they played live and employed a naked bearded woman as touring dancer. Scored a number one single in 1996, and you probably recognize the song. It's called Pepper.
Marky got with Sharon, and Sharon got Cherie, and she was sharing Sharon's outlook on the topic of disease. Mikey had a facial scar, and Bobby was a racist. They were all in love with dying, they were doing it in Texas. Tommy played piano like a kid out in the rain, and then he lost his leg in Dallas, he was dancing with the train. They were all in love with dying, they were drinking from a fountain that was pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes, the images it shows. You on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugary and softly spoken lies. You never know just how to look through other people's eyes.
Pursuit and fiery auto crashes. Some will die in hot pursuit while sifting through my ashes. Some will fall in love with life and drink it from a fountain that is pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes, the images it shows. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugary and softly spoken lies. You never know just how you look through other people's eyes.
Last night, knife while arguing in traffic. Flipper died a natural death. He caught a nasty virus. Then there was the ever-present football player rapist. They were all in love with dying. They were doing it in Texas. Holly caught a bullet, but it only hit his leg. Well, it should have been a better shot. Got him in the head. They were all in love with dying. They were drinking from a fountain that was pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes. The images it shows. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugary and softly spoken lies. You never know just how you look through other people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Underdog by Butthole Surfers, a song they contributed to the 1995 Saturday Morning Cartoons album. So that will take us out of here. Stick around for Poison Ivy the Mind. Those guys are coming up next. Thanks for listening to Connecting the Notes. As always, visit us online at connectingthenotes.com to get all the scoop on what we're up to. Let's see, the Butthole Surfers are still around, and just the other day I actually noticed that they had played 7 dates in Europe this past April of 2009. So they're still around. Check them out. And we'll see you next week.
Take me, break me, tell me a good one, and maybe I'll cry. Go with me, show me, tell me a good one, maybe I'll die. Lately I've been dancing in ceiling fans, into the kitchen, out the back gate. Well, I know it sounds strange, but it could be the other way, round to the ground. Well, I know I must stay. Could be the